Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of the work that my staff and I have been doing on the topic of choice. I'd like to start with some basic tenets of primate welfare. First, in general, welfare is considered good when an animal has the ability to perform its full range of natural behaviors. Second, choice is a major component of the behavior of animals when they interact with their environments. And three, choice-making opportunities in captive environments are limited. Thus, we suggest that providing ways to increase choice-making opportunities should promote species-typical behaviors and then improve welfare. However, in order to achieve this goal, it's important that the methods used are objective and that there are metrics to quantify welfare enhancements. Within primate welfare, there is the assumption that choice-making opportunities are intrinsically reinforcing. Thus, you can hypothesize that if the act of choosing is intrinsically reinforcing, then individuals should show a preference for a choice condition over a no-choice condition, even when the consequences of each are equal. So given this assumption, the aim of our study, and then there was light, looked to study and investigate the inherent value of choice. In order to do that, we needed to determine how to measure choice as a reinforcer, and in particular, how to isolate it as an independent variable from the items being chosen. Additionally, we were interested to see whether whether choice itself as a reinforcer varied across species and across individuals with respect to gender, age, and rank. There's a fairly extensive literature on choice studies. However, the methodologies and results remain inconsistent. The majority of the studies have a limited focus of species as their study subjects, and most of them have been done on pigeons, rats, humans with disabilities, and macaques. Such wide-ranging species make comparison of the results very difficult. There's also a fair degree of inconsistency in the terminology used in choice studies, and for the purposes of our study, we defined choice as the power or liberty to choose, choosing as the act of making a choice, and preference as a pattern of choosing. And lastly, inconsistencies also exist in the methodologies used in choice studies. However, the principal methods used are single operant or concurrent operants arrangement procedures, the difference being in the number of stimuli and conditions presented to the subject, thus yielding either an absolute or relative preference. In our study, we used a concurrent operants procedure arrangement, and we used a touchscreen monitor and a computer program to run the experiments, and in this diagram depicts what happens in a single trial. The subjects are in the first initial link. The subjects, The subjects are presented with three stimuli in initial link. The no consequence key is used as a control and never ends in a terminal link. So essentially it's game over if they select the no consequence key. The other two keys do lead to a terminal link. If the subject chooses the choice link, they then get to choose between two different but equally preferred food items in the terminal link. If the subject chooses the no-choice link, the choice is made for them, and they are presented with a picture of two of the same food items. Prior to the experimental trial, there were several pre-testing training tests that had to be done that were required in order to prep the subjects for the experiments. The first was a food preference assessment, where subjects were presented with pairings of seven different food items that were not part of the regular diet and then ranked from lowest to highest preference. They were also had some training in the touchscreen monitor, and this involved two parts. First, key press training, which involved teaching the subjects how to touch the stimuli on the monitor. And then second, discrimination training, where the subjects had to learn to discriminate between two pictures of food items so that they can distinguish between the differences. And then discrimination training between the two contingencies, either consequence or no consequence. And then once that was done, the experimental phase began, and the goal of the experimental phase was to evaluate choice as a reinforcer, independent of the food items being chosen. And as part of the research design, this also included a reversal phase. So each experimental phase was followed by a reversal phase in which the contingencies associated with choice and no choice are reversed. And this is done in order to detect any biases. The study was first done on silvered langurs, two adult males, two adult females, and then followed up on a study on four western lowland gorillas. Now, in order to give you a better idea of how this study was conducted, I have a video.
Do animals prefer to make choices for themselves, or do they prefer to have choices made for them? To explore these questions, we've designed a study that can actually measure if our animals value the opportunity to choose among outcomes. By using a touch-sensitive monitor and a simple computer program, we asked our silvered langurs, an Asian monkey species, if they prefer to make a choice between two food items, or if they actually prefer to have us make the choice for them. Our subject here is a 6-year-old langur named Stu. Our research begins by presenting Stu with three images on a screen. One image, the yellow star, will allow Stu the opportunity to choose between two food items. Another image, the red heart, will give Stu no choice, and he will have to pick only one type of food. The third image, the blue square, is what we call a control key. By touching the control key, Stu is given nothing. Let's say Stu selects the yellow star and is therefore allowed to choose his food item. The monitor will then display a picture of a pea and a walnut. Stu can then choose to press either picture, and he will be given the item that he chooses. Let's say Stu selects the red heart. Either two walnut pictures or two pea pictures will appear on the screen. He will not get to choose between two items. He will instead be given whichever food item was presented on the screen before him. While this research may seem pretty basic, it can actually provide us with fundamental information that will help us answer broader questions about our animals. Scientific procedures like this also allow us to make informed decisions about how we can care for our animals, and therefore enhances our ability to provide for their well-being.
Sounds pretty promising, right? Well, let's go to the results. And here are two graphs for our subjects 1 and 2, the two adult males. And to orient you a little bit, the y-axis is the percent responding. The x-axis is represents the number of sessions that occurred. The left side of the screen is the experimental phase, and the right side is the reversal phase. So for subject 1, he quickly extinguishes the no consequence key and starts to show a steady state response to choice. However, in the reversal phase, where the contingencies for choice and no choice are reversed, he shows a stimulus bias. For the second subject, it takes him until about session 7 before he starts to extinguish the no consequence key. But he then, at the same time, shows steady state response to no choice, which continues until the reversal, again, where the stimuli, the contingencies associated with the stimuli are reversed, and he too also shows a stimulus bias. Subjects 3 and 4 are two adult females. Subject 3 shows a steady state response to the no choice link. And in the reversal phase, after a few sessions, she does extinguish the no consequence key, however, shows equal rate of response to choice and no choice. For subject 4, extinguishes a no consequence key fairly rapidly and then shows steady state response to choice. However, she too shows equal preference for choice and no choice in the reversal phase. And in post hoc analyses, both of these individuals appear to have developed a positional bias. So for our silvered langurs, we were able to see that they were able to discriminate between consequence and no consequence. Each of them were able to achieve a steady state response, two to choice, two to no choice, during the experimental phase. However, all four of them developed a bias in the reversal phase. We then repeated the study with lowland gorillas, and we used the same procedure, except we then added another baseline study, which consisted of using a high preference, low preference experiment. And we did the high preference, low preference experiment as a way to confirm that the subjects could discriminate between choice and no choice when the food reinforcer was different. We also wanted to look at the potential influence of age, rank, or social status on the effects of choice. Our first subject was a 28-year-old silverback, and he takes a few sessions before he extinguishes the no consequence link, however, shows steady state response to choice, followed by a stimulus bias in the reversal phase. Our second subject was a 4-year-old subordinate male. He extinguishes the no consequence key fairly early on, and then also shows steady state response to choice, but about halfway through the session, starts to select choice and no choice at equal rates, and this continues on in the reversal phase. Subject three is a 12-year-old subordinate female. This subject took about more than half of the experimental phase before she would extinguish the no consequence link and showed equal preference for choice and no choice in the experimental phase and then continuing on into the reversal phase. And in post hoc analysis, it appeared that she had a positional bias. And our last subject was a 38-year-old dominant female. And in this experiment, this subject showed a preference for the no consequence link. And she selected this about 50% of the time and has persisted both in the experimental phase and throughout the reversal. And she never did actually extinguish any of the other choices. So what do these results mean? Choice did not produce a clear and consistent effect on responding for either the Langers or the gorillas. In the Langers, they were able to distinguish between consequence and no consequence. However, all four developed biases. For the gorillas, while we did not observe random behavior, we did observe differential rate of responding. And some possible reasons for this are obviously a stimulus or a positional bias. This can confound the results. And also the topic of learning acquisition. In the reversal phase, if the sessions are extended longer, perhaps the subjects would be able to then discriminate between the new consequences associated with the stimuli. We think that once they learned certain stimuli were associated with certain consequences, it was very difficult for them to then understand that there were new consequences associated with those same stimuli. But lastly, the preference for consequences associated with conditions may be real. Perhaps what we saw were that the results actually reflect their preferences. So in conclusion, for the questions posed, is there inherent value in access to choice and does it vary across individuals? We had 7 out of the 8 subjects that could discriminate between consequence and no consequence. 6 out of the 8 achieved steady state responding, but not exclusively to choice. And 6 out of the 8 developed biases confounding the results. Thus, our results are inconclusive. However, our results are inconclusive, but that does not necessarily mean that this is showing that the subjects do not have a preference for choice, but may rather reflect the methodology used, where the differences among the contingencies may not be salient enough for these subjects to discriminate. Certainly, the biases complicate and confound the results as well. And then I have one more. In summary, a video to show my summary. Even though our results were inconclusive, we wanted to note that the choice trials had a high enrichment value. And here the gorillas are participating in one of the sessions. All of the individuals eagerly participated. It was all voluntary. They were never separated from their conspecifics. They readily interacted with the monitor screen. And if they had their choice, they would sit there all day interacting with the screen. We were able to do this with 2 social groups, and the individual on the left is the young 4-year-old male, and we started with the individual on the right, the dominant female, and he would actually come into the cage when she was during her experimental phase and go on the cage above her, go in the cage top above her and lean over upside down to press the key buttons for her. And she was the one that picked no consequence. So we then set up an additional monitor and touchscreen for them, and we were able to actually run the experiments with both of them side by side. His response rate was much faster. We have a goal to continue with our 16 other gorillas and ultimately with many other primate species. The difficulties are in setting up the time during the day to do this and to ensure that it is done without any adverse effects with their conspecifics.